You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Amen. Yesterday, our ladies had their spring banquet. They had 75 ladies there enjoying lunch and prayer. Praise the Lord. And what really excited about is six of the ladies gave their life to Christ yesterday. Amen. So our ladies are inviting their friends and sharing Christ, and we're really excited about that. Coming up this week, a couple of things. Tomorrow morning, we've got our men's prayer breakfast at Berry Fresh at 8 o'clock. And I'd like to invite you men to come. We have some wonderful sharing times, discussion, and prayer, and want you to come and fellowship with us and be a part of that. We'd also like to invite you, if you're our guest today, to just fill this little thing out, tear it off, place it in the offering plate, and share yourself with us. And then also, we've got this Thursday, the National Day of Prayer. And now some of you may be providentially hindered where you can't make it, but if you can, we've been meeting for years now, three decades, over at the gazebo right next to the courthouse, and want to invite you to come and invite friends to come with you. It's from 12 to 1 during the lunch hour. And maybe if you're working close or local, you can say, please let me off, I'll be right back and come over and be a part of our prayer time there. And then in honor of that, we've placed on our bulletin board in the fellowship hall hallway, a bulletin board with the 50 states on it. And we'd like to encourage you to go by. You can pull a state, one or two, or as many as you'd like of your choice to pray for the next couple of weeks. And those are there on the wall there at the very junction where you go over to the fellowship hall. And so I want to encourage you to go by and get those. I pulled Tennessee, I'm from Memphis, capital Nashville, population of Tennessee, 10,711,000, growing rapidly from the blue cities of New York and the state of California, and like Florida and Texas and others. And so I'm going to be praying for the state of Tennessee and for Memphis. I'm from Memphis. And Memphis, at one point, when Mayor Crump was the mayor, was the most beautiful city in the United States, the cleanest city in the U.S. And recently, in the last few years, it's led the U.S. in murder. And so it's not flourishing under its democratic rule there in the city of Memphis. And I'm going to be praying for that. And then that has been knocked down some. Since President Trump has been initiating this push on some of the major cities and the crime. But Memphis still needs prayers. It's a great place to be from, not to be in. And great barbecue, though, I will say that. So I'm going to be praying for Memphis and the rest of the state this week as we're praying for an awakening for our nation. And then also, this Wednesday will be our last week of Awana's this spring, this session and semester, and then it'll also be our last Wednesday night dinner for the summer. So I'd like to invite you to come and partake of the dinner with us. The menu is here in our publication. We're having wraps, chips, and salad, and so I want to encourage you to come and fellowship with us and take part in that. Senior adult luncheon coming up a week from this Tuesday, and we're going to be having a wonderful speaker, Carl Toth from the Maker's Box, in honor of Mother's Day, and he'll be sharing that ministry with us. We've partaken in that, been a part of that before. It's kind of on the model of Samaritan's Purse. Be in prayer also for our VBS. And then we've got a soul-winning workshop coming up. It's a one-day soul-winning workshop Saturday in the Fellowship Hall. And want to encourage all of you to come, and we'll train you in using your testimony and a couple of different ways to share the gospel. And I want you to be a part of it. Come with us. We'll start at 9, and then we'll end at noon. And so I want to encourage you to come and be equipped. The scriptures encourage us to be equipped in our faith to give immediately an answer for the hope that lies within us. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that with us as well. God bless.
Church, as we sing the next couple of songs, you're welcome to stand with us or sit there. But one thing I encourage everyone is that we enter into a spirit of worship. Amen. Let's sing this.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's with a thankful, grateful heart that we bow before you, throwing an humble prayer. Tell you we love you and give thanks, Lord. Father, thank you for your grace and mercies. They're new each day. Heavenly Father, and a special thank you for our purification from all our sins, Lord, through our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're the guiding light in a world full of darkness. Lord, just ask that you bless this food, bless this congregation, this church, Lord, the church staff, the missionaries, Lord, the teachers and the students, Lord. We thank you for each one of them. Bless them. Be with our leaders, Lord, the president and his cabinet, Lord, that they make godly decisions, ones that are pleasing and your will on it, Lord. We thank you for them. Watch over them. Heavenly Father, be with Dr. Orman as he teaches us from your word. It's a word that we trust and hope in on it, Lord. We thank you for him and his love for you. Lord, just ask that you bless these tithes and these offerings, Lord, and that they be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Want to dismiss our children for Children's Church at this time. And as Jim was praying over the offering, he asked the Lord to bless our food, I think. And that was a good prayer, because in Scripture it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we're going to get into God's bread today as we look at Scripture. So Jim, thank you for that prayer. And let's open our Bibles. But before we do that, I'd like you to quote the verse with me that's there in your notes, if you've got a copy of the notes, or if you want to look up Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And let's share this verse together. Here we see the disciples meeting with the Lord, and this is an interesting question they make of him, a request. And let's read it together on the count of three. One, two, three. Lord, excellent. So it's interesting that when you think about the disciples with the Lord Jesus, that they did not ask him. There's a lot of things they could have asked him to teach them, a lot of things they could have requested from him. I mean, look what they were seeing. For 3 years of public ministry as they followed him, they saw the Lord Jesus heal people. They could have requested from him and said, Lord, teach us how to heal people. They saw him take a little boy's lunch and feed thousands. They could have said, Lord, show us how to be effective in the fellowship dinner, you know, how to prepare the dinner. And how in the world do you do that? These miracles. How can we, Lord, heal a lame person? How can we cast out demons? Teach us to cast demons out. There were so many requests they could have made of him. And then maybe one of the most obvious and the biggest was his public speaking, where the Lord was standing on the side of a lake, or sometimes he would have them suspend him out in a boat on the lake. And it's interesting that when he did that, he showed his knowledge of the acoustics that he invented and he designed, because if you know, if you've been fishing on a pond or a lake and you're anywhere near someone else in another boat, you can hear everything they're saying. It amplifies it. The surface of the water carries it. And so here he is in a boat speaking to thousands. Here he is on the side of a hill, and he's halfway up the hill, and he's got the people displayed in the bowl of the little depression area in front of the hill. And he's speaking to them, and they could have said, Lord, teach us how to speak. Lord, teach us how to preach. You know, teach us how to do what you do. But no, we see in scriptures that really the only thing they ask him is they said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? Teach us how to make requests from God the Father. Teach us how to supplicate, you know, how to make petitions before God. Lord, please teach us how to pray. And when I was ordained in the ministry at Broadway Baptist in Memphis, Brother Bobby Moore, one of the greatest pastors I've ever been around, a humble man, a godly man, very evangelistic, a man of prayer. I had the opportunity to drive him to some of his preaching engagements when I was a teenager, a baby Christian, and the car would just fill up with the presence of Christ. And Brother Bobby would be singing. And it was such a privilege. And it's interesting that Brother Bobby, when he talked to me after I was ordained in the ministry, he said, Daryl, there's one thing that's the most important thing you can do in your ministry life, and it's more important than everything else. He said, make sure that you have daily prayer and devotion times with God. That you on a daily basis get alone with God, that you read the Word of God, that you pray. And I mean, his counsel echoes in my mind for years now, for decades in the ministry, when I think about the importance of that. And that's why I read through the one-year Bible every year. That's why I pray like I pray, as I was taught and encouraged to do that. So the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. So this morning, we want to see his response to that request, and we want to look at it together and break it down and basically organized in five keys to effective prayer. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, very familiar passage. We're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer and the lead up to it. So we see beginning in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6, and when you pray, Jesus said, you're not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's do this one together. I'm sure you know it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then in the next two verses, for if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So first of all, we see that we're going to look at the who, what, when, where, and how of prayer. First of all, who we're to pray to. We're to pray to the Father in the name of the Son. We're to pray to God the Father. We're to address our prayers to Him, but we're doing it in the authority in the name of Jesus. And we see this in verse 6 and 9 of our passage. But you, when you pray, go in your inner room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And then verse 9, we're to pray in this way, our Father who art in heaven. In John, the Gospel of John chapter 16, verses 23 through 24, we see again that the scriptures talk about our prayer direction. And in that day, you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. And how many of you can concur that when you prayed and you asked God for something, maybe something you're burdened about, maybe something you need, that when you've done that and God has answered it, that it's brought great joy to your heart? Can I hear an amen? There's an interesting thing that now the joy of being married to another believer is we have the opportunity in real time to pray and see answers to prayer in our immediate vicinity. It's when one or the other of a couple prays, especially if they're praying for direction for the other or something for the other, and then we see an immediate response, there's a couple of things that happen. Number one, we recognize that God heard us. And then number two, we recognize that our spouse heard God and responded and was able to accomplish these things that we prayed. And so, ladies, I mean, I've shared this many times. If you want things done around the house, just pray and ask God to lay it on your husband's heart. I'm just saying. And if he's listening, he'll start getting busy. He may not want to at first, but God will give him the want to. Same thing, husbands, for your wives. Pray for them. You know, if you really love that chicken pot pie, pray for it. You'll get it. And so we're to ask God in the name of Jesus. And then in John chapter 14, for the, just a two chapters back, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So we see that asking God the Father, and he says, when you bring these petitions before God, he will hear you and he will do it. And then when you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, Jesus said, if you pray in my name, I will do it. And so a lot of times some of the needs that we have in our life are not needs of our own abilities to supply for our needs. They're an inability of us to pray for our needs as we should and ask God to help us with those. We see also in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And here we see the Apostle Paul saying that he's bowing down, he's on his knees talking to God the Father. And so we see this. And then in James chapter 5, verse 16, or 5, verse 14, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And so you and I need to recognize we're to pray to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Manly Beasley was one of our great Bible teachers in the Southern Baptist Convention, and he and Peter Lord and several others were personally discipled by one of our greatest missionaries in history, Bertha Smith. She was a widow, unmarried lady. She was the equivalent of a Baptist nun, and served God fervently her whole entire life. She was a great, 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 great prayer warrior. And I'll never forget Manly Beasley. I was talking to him once, and Manly Beasley said that he was in a prayer meeting where Bertha was praying with several of these men, these pastors and Bible teachers of our convention. And Manly said he was praying, and he said, "Oh, dear God, oh, Jesus, God," and he started interchanging their names, talking to them. And Bertha stopped his prayer and said, "Manly, get your Trinity correct. You're to be praying to the Father in the name of the Son." And she corrected him in his prayer. But we see that Jesus and the scriptures actually teach us that. They espouse that. Now, if it's a difference for you of whether you pray or not, if you're concerned about getting these things concerned and so you're not going to pray, it'd be better for you to confuse them and pray than be unconfused and not pray. So I want to encourage you with that. But we see that we're to pray to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then what are we to pray for? We see several things lined out in the Lord's Prayer. First of all, we're to pray that his kingdom come. Pray to our Father who is in heaven, and he's got a holy name, thy kingdom come. Now, if you look at that, that indicates a future desire. Is thy kingdom come. It doesn't say pray thy kingdom that's here. Pray thy kingdom come. Now, with this, there's a mixture of two desires, two hearts in our prayer. Number one, the desire for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes back, his feet hit the Mount of Olives, it splits open. They have found an earth fault there exactly in the middle of it. It kept the Marriott from building a hotel there years ago. He's going to land. He's going to go up on Temple Mount into the rebuilt temple. He's going to sit down on the throne, and he's going to reestablish God's kingdom on earth over every nation, over every rulership, over every king and president, and every cabinet and senate all over the earth. And he's going to reestablish God's kingdom here on earth. And when we're praying looking ahead to that. And as we looked in the rewards, there's a reward for those who are anticipating the return of Christ. So we're praying with this, thy kingdom come, Jesus come. We see the book of Revelation ends with that. Lord, come quickly. And so this is one aspect. The other aspect is we're praying for God's kingdom to come in each one of our hearts and lives, that all over the earth, all of the believers, all the born again will obey God. They'll respond to the will of God, that they will have the kingdom in mind as they live their daily lives. That's for all of us here. That's for anyone listening or watching, that we have a desire for this kingdom come, this kingdom to be coming in each of our lives individually as we obey the Lord and live for him. Then we see next that, well, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, we see, secondly, we're to pray for God's will, the will of God. This is God's plan in each of our lives. This is God's desire for each of our lives. This is God's intelligence directed for our benefit. And so we see in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we've asked from him. When you pray and you know you're in the sweet spot in prayer, you know that you're praying the will of God. Now, we can say, well, how do I know if I'm praying the will of God? Well, so many scriptures talk about the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish. So when you're praying for any lost person to give their life to Christ, you're praying in the will of God. That is the will of God, for them to give their heart and life to the Lord Jesus. When you're praying for pastors and politicians and statesmen and statespeople, you're praying in the will of God, because he directly expresses that we pray for those. And so the will of God expressed, the express will of God, and we're to pray for that. Then we also pray for God's provision. In verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And so the idea that God is to provide for us. So many times the needs we have in our life are needs that we haven't prayed for. We have a tendency, if we need something, to just go to the store and purchase it, or go to the car lot and buy it. Just in the last few weeks, we've been needing to replace our church and school vans. And so I've had two of our staff members that have been forwarding me different used passenger vans for me to inquire. I've called five different dealerships from Orlando to Miami and was negotiating a price for a van, initially one van. And basically the prices for a used Ford F-350 Econo van are running around, depending on the mileage on them, they've been running from around the low 30s, 33, 34,000 up to the mid 40s for a used one. And I had actually negotiated, Orlando was going to bring one from Georgia and we would go up there and get that. And I went a long way negotiating with them. Then one in Miami, they said they had one. There was one in West Palm. And finally, I remembered a godly Christian dealer that we knew from the history of our church. And I said, I'm going to give him a call. And so I call him, and they had a real nice van that had around 59,000 miles on it. And so I'm negotiating with him. It was a 12-passenger. And he said, Pastor, I tell you what, if you purchase this one, I'll give you $20,000 toward it. I said, sold. And then I said, we'll take two. And so they had another one of 15 passenger, and started talking to them. He put his administrator, their finance person on to me and was calling me. And the finance person said, well, the price for the 15 passenger, which has pretty low mileage on it, is $47,900. And the price of the other one is $37,000. And I go, okay. And I said, well, he said he was going to do $20,000. Well, I think it's $20,000 toward both, $10,000 each. And I said, can I speak to him? So she put him on the phone. And I said, Jesus wants the Jesus deal for both of them. And he said, Jesus does? I said, he does. You know, they're his vans, it's his church, it's his money. He said, all right, pastor, you drive a hard deal, I'll do it. And so he said, you write the full retail amount, and then I'll send you a check for $40,000 toward the two. And so we've done that. And that was an answer to prayer, praying God direct and guide. And it saved us, our church, a lot of money. And now we've got two wonderful new vans for our senior trips, for sports for the school, and all these other things. So God provides if we ask him. And let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. God provides. And so we see this provision. He said, I will give you your daily bread. Now, there has never been a nation in the history of the world so uniquely blessed as this nation. For 250 years, we've been the most abundant nation on the earth with our fields of grain, you know, our ample supply that God has given us. And in fact, I saw on the news within the last week or so, they said that our poorest people in our nation are the richest poor people in the world. And we see that the aspect of God's provision, he said, I will provide for you. And daily bread for them meant eating every day. And as you know, in those agrarian societies, those ancient societies, they didn't have tractors. They couldn't farm hundreds of acres. They had little plots to feed their families. They pulled, you know, oxen pulled their plows. And, you know, they just did not have the economy of production that we have. And so their prayer was, Lord, give us a loaf of bread today. Right now, still, that's the prayer of half the world. About 4 billion people are looking today for food. Now, when I've watched animals, that's how animals live. From bugs to fish to birds to lizards to every primates to whales. Everything on earth is spending every day eating, looking for something to eat. You know, they're either bugs or, and I used to not curse God at all, but I used to question God, why did you make mosquitoes? Have any of you ever asked that? Well, I figured it out. Mosquitoes are the rice of the animal kingdom. Everything eats mosquitoes. Fish eat mosquitoes, lizards, birds, you name it. All these things eat mosquitoes. They're the rice of the animal. Mosquitoes are feeding the animals of the world. Now, we see in Scripture that he says we're to pray for our daily bread, for what God provides for us on a daily basis. And then we're to pray for forgiveness. There's three verses here, four actually. If you look, first of all, in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then 14 and 15, but if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transactions. It's interesting, as Jesus is teaching them to pray in this prayer, that he doesn't key in on a couple of commentary verses on don't worry about food. Now, he does it in another place. You know, if God clothes the flowers of the field, if he feeds the birds, he's going to feed you. But in this passage, the only of all these tenets, these keys that we're praying for and that we're praying in, the only one that he gives commentary and teaching on is forgiveness, bitterness. This is the number one tool, weapon of Satan, of the enemy, is bitterness in every one of our hearts and lives. Unforgiveness. When you carry that and you carry the bitterness and you carry the unforgiveness, it will destroy everything else. It will destroy your prayer life. And from your prayer life springs everything else in your life. And we see this emphasis on forgiveness. And God says that it's reciprocal. He said, as you forgive others, I will forgive you. And that's why he put it in the prayer that way and teaching it. Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Are you carrying bitterness this morning towards someone? Are you carrying unforgiveness in your heart towards someone? Then the Holy Spirit of God this morning is speaking to your heart to forgive them. And your prayer hangs in the balance. So I want to encourage you with that, that you pray for forgiveness. And then for God's forgiveness, and then for God's deliverance, verse 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Temptation touches all our lives. We're all tempted in different ways. Now, there's a finite amount of temptations because there's a finite amount of things that we can say, think, or do. But you have your weakness. Each of us has this area, a bent towards certain types of sin. This is one of the challenges in adopting children, is people are adopting children who have a biological sin nature from another set of parents. Now, in this, he talks about this, Lord, please deliver us from evil. Protect us from temptation, deliver us from evil. We know in Scripture that he says that with every temptation, he says, I will provide a way of escape. And sometimes we've used the cliche, if he doesn't open a door, he'll open a window. And so you and I need to recognize that the temptations in our life, that God wants to deliver us from those temptations. He wants to deliver us from evil. And one of the most bewildering prayers in the Scripture for me, one of the most unusual responses of Jesus in the entire Bible for me personally, is when Jesus turned to Peter and he said to Peter, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I prayed that your faith won't fail. And every time I've read that, every time I've thought about, even leading up to this message, every time I've thought about that, I've thought, why didn't Jesus just say to Satan, leave Peter alone? Why didn't he just say, don't touch him? He's one of my apostles. He's one of my sent ones. Why, don't touch him. He didn't say that. He said, I pray that his faith won't fail. And so you and I, when we're tempted, when we have evil, when we sense evil, we sense evil confronting us, God says, don't lose your faith. Don't give up. Don't give in. Stand true. And don't listen to the enemy. Don't respond to that. And so we're to respond in this way, as Peter was and as Peter did. We see that Peter did fall in temptation. He was tempted to deny Christ, and he did. But then we see that Jesus forgave him, and then he stood up and became the great preacher of the day of Pentecost and proclaimed the gospel to a city, to thousands, and confronted the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Roman leadership over their sin. So we see that this is what we're to pray. Now, next, when we're to pray. Give us this day our daily bread means we're praying a daily prayer. So one of the aspects of prayer is to pray daily in our lives. Now, I want to share a few verses with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, this doesn't mean that you and I can constantly be on our knees all day long. What it does mean is you and I are walking in a spirit of supplication, a spirit of intercession. You and I are walking our life in a way that is communing with God and keeping the communication channels open and talking to God. I mean, you can pray to God, you know, walking through the supermarket, pushing the cart. You can pray sitting in a traffic light. You can pray anywhere and everywhere. And he says, we're to always be in prayer. When you're at the traffic light, look around you. Pray for the woman in the SUV, the man in the pickup truck. Pray for those around you. And when you're in the supermarket, you can do the same thing. You can pray for people. You know, a woman's got this screaming, out-of-control kid sitting in the cart. Pray for great discipline in that family, for that child. And you are to be praying constantly. But then we see also in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, that now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered the house now in his roof chamber. He had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. So here we see the habit of Daniel praying 3 times a day. Now, hopefully you pray over your food and you could say, well, I do that, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But we see that this was a practice. He was kneeling, looking out his window toward Jerusalem and begging God and interceding with him. And then we see in Psalm 55, also verse 17, and the scriptures say this, evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. So here we see David also praying 3 times a day. So we can pray daily. We could pray 3 times a day. We could pray continually. That's when we're to pray. Next, where are we to pray? Back in our passage, he says, and when you pray. And by the way, if you've got your Bible, look in verse 5 and underline when you pray. It's the beginning of verse 5. Then the beginning of verse 6, but you, when you pray, underline that. And then verse 7, and when you are praying, underline that. And so we're to be praying privately. We do pray publicly, but for the most part, most of us don't get that opportunity. But we're to pray privately. That means you're praying at home. You're praying in your prayer closet. Maybe you go outside from your family and sit in a patio chair and you pray and talk to God. Maybe you pray in your car. But you have your prayer closet. And it's not to say, oh, see me, see what a great prayer warrior I am. See how great my prayers are. It's not like that. He says we're to pray privately. And then he says also that when we pray privately, we will be rewarded openly. You pray to your Father in your closet, and then when you do, it says in Scripture that he will reward you openly. And he will respond to you. And then in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus arose, went out, departed to a lonely place, and was praying there. So my question to you right now, and I believe it could be God's question to you, is where's your prayer closet, and when do you pray? Are you praying daily, or do you just pray, Lord, help us get to church on time? How are you praying? And so he tells us that where we're to pray privately, and then how we're to pray in verses 7 and 8. Now, it's interesting in this passage that with it, we see that this prayer has been turned into a prayer of the Catholic Church. There's our Fathers and Hail Marys. And so if we had a confession booth here and a priest was on one side and you were to go in the other, you confess your sins, and then the priest, according to their own discretion, would say, oh, that's a really bad sin. You got to pray 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers. And so then you're to repeat 10 times, Hail Mary, full of grace. You're to repeat 10 times, Our Father, which art in heaven. And those are the two, and you're to repeat those prayers 10 times repetitively over. And that's a the punishment. That's the penitence. That's your response to your sins and what you're to do. And there's the belief in that system that that will take care of your sins. Well, the Lord Jesus, when he was talking to him, he didn't say, pray this prayer. What did he say? Pray in this way. This is a pattern. This is a model. This is an example. And you're to pray in this way. So we see in it that when he teaches on this, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. You're not to just be repetitively. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have a prayer list and that each day you pray over that list. I mean, that would be a form of repetition. But the idea is you're not just quoting mechanically some statements. That's why I've not really been a big fan of written prayers, where people write out prayers and they hand them out to everybody. Everybody pray this prayer. I mean, my whole life I've been driven by extemporaneous prayer, that I'm to pray as the Spirit of God speaks to my heart and as He guides and directs me in my spirit. I mean, we don't talk to each other in our relationships like that. Hail Kim, full of grace. How art thou? Hast thou made lunch yet? You know, and I sure don't do 10 Hail Kims. Hail Kim, full of grace. How art thou? How's dinner? You know, but we're not to be like that. We don't talk like that. You know, we just talk to each other. And I think God wants that same extemporaneous, live, real response in our life. Be real. Be real in your prayers, extemporaneously from the heart. And we're to pray with our whole heart, the entirety of our heart, and our heart being our fixed desires, our deep emotions. Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, with all of you there is, searching for him, talking to him, responding to him, praying to him. And then in James 5:16, we see in Scripture that it says we're to pray with fervency. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Here we see the idea of prayer with heat, prayer with emotions, driven prayer, urgent prayer, necessary prayer. And we're to pray in that way. Pray with a fervency in our life. And then we're to pray with piety. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it talks about the Lord Jesus and the quality and nature of his prayers. It says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Jesus was heard because of his piety. What is piety? Piety is godlikeness. It's godliness. It's holiness. And we can, as believers, say Christlikeness. When you're walking in sincerity, you're desperately trying to live the Christian life. You're trying to be obedient. Doesn't mean we always are. We all fail. We all come short of the glory of God. But we're trying, and we're not blowing it off. We're not taking it for granted. We're not living in licentiousness, license, but we're living in a desire to live a holy life. And he says, when you're doing that, when you're living in piety, God-likeness, like God, that he says he will hear your prayers and he will respond to them. So I want to encourage you to take this, take the outline today if you've got the notes, or grab some on the way out, and rehearse these things and go over them. This could be devotions for your family for a week or two, and for you to go over these things in your life and ask each other the question as a couple, are we living in piety? Are we praying fervently? Are we asking God for our needs? What are some of our needs? Let's make a list of our needs. Let's ask God for our needs. Are we forgiving those who've done us wrong? As our society gradually devolves, as the spirit of apostasy rises, we're all going to experience more and more times we're going to be wronged. I mean, who would have ever thought in the United States of America that postal workers would steal our mail? That was a third world situation. That wasn't us. My sister, when she was alive in South Africa, I couldn't mail packages to her. She said, wouldn't do any good. Don't mail any money. They open the stuff, and if they like it, they keep it. Who would have thought that would have been here? That wouldn't have been here years ago. There wouldn't have been judges who make their own laws. There wouldn't have been judges releasing guilty people. There wouldn't have been a political party wanting illegal people to vote in our elections. You and I are living now in the results of this, and because of that, we are all wronged and defrauded in a systematic way with what's going on in the devolvement of our nation. We all are. You've lost some of the power of your vote when illegal people vote. You've lost the confidence in your banking systems. If people at a bank, we've got three different families in our church that have had funds taken out of their accounts at the same bank. If you want to know who it is, see me after the service. Who would have thought that? So we all have an opportunity for forgiveness. We all have an opportunity to ask God to extend his hand and to forgive, and to forgive through us. The ultimate thing we all need is for Jesus to forgive us, for Jesus to forgive us in our life. Ultimately, all sin is against God. And so I want to ask you, if you would right now, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'd like to ask you this morning, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you experienced his forgiveness in your life? If not, I'd like to invite you right now to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you, to cleanse you. And if you could just ask him wherever you are, maybe you're driving in your car right now. Wherever you are, you can just say, oh, Lord, you see me, hear me, know me. I desperately need your forgiveness. Please forgive me and cleanse me. Please come into my life. Take control of my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now and give you an opportunity to respond to God this morning. Maybe speaking to you about church membership. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism if you have not been immersed after your salvation. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you about sharing a praise or a prayer request or whatever the case might be. This is an opportunity for you to do business with God. Let's stand together and you sing as you come.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
So you're pregnant and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful, but you're also afraid and anxious. How do you deal with this? Where do you go for help? CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast is here for you. We give compassionate counsel, helpful education and referrals so that you can make the best decision. There is no charge for our confidential services, and we will ensure that you enjoy security and strong support from the CareNet family. Reach out to us today at 772-828-3168.
Hello, I'm Charles Stanley. God is amazing in so many ways. One that still leaves me in awe is the fact He's always available to us. When you listen to In Touch, I pray you're encouraged to spend quality time alone with God. We'll study His Word for ways to help you enjoy a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We're always in touch when we walk close to God and understand His will for our lives.
In Touch, heard daily at 8:05 a.m. and p.m. right here on WCNO.